with you? Why are you so quiet? I know you got a man. What's wrong with you?
Eric pushed me.
He pushed me.
Wait, no, he did not.
I don't know what to do.
I don't think there's any good men.
Thank you.
You're a nice guy now.
Please.
Excuse me? There are good men.
You have one.
You think I got a mat for good men or something?
No, there is no one. My adult.
Welcome to Epic Artist Podcast. I'm your host, May Santiago. I'm here joined with my co-host, Lisa G. Welcome.
Hello.
Our special guest today is going to be Shantae Moore, the legendary Shantae Moore. She's running a little bit behind schedule. She will join us momentarily. Until then, we're just going to take a minute to listen to one of her songs, and then we'll come back and we'll have some commentary.
So what's wrong with you? Why are you so quiet? I know you got a man. What's wrong with you?
Eric pushed me.
He pushed me.
Wait, no, he did not.
I don't know what to do.
I don't think there's any good men left.
Thank you. You're a nice guy now.
Please.
Excuse me?
There are good men.
Where? You think I got a map for good men or something?
No, there is no one. My adult.
And we're back with Every Artist Podcast. I'm here joined with my co-host, Lisa G.
What's going on?
What's on your mind today, Lisa?
Man, sleep. There's nothing like having a one-year-old to help you realize your age.
Yeah.
Yes. Have you been watching the news lately, though?
I watch every now and then. I try to get a little bit. I don't try to watch too much. Sometimes it could be a little bit depressing, especially when it's the same thing over and over. But what's going on?
You see how Florida has become like the epicenter now, right? For this COVID.
I've been hearing that.
Opening up.
Yeah, I don't understand that whole process of, opening the states back up, and now we see what's happening. The fact that we opened too soon, now we're seeing the numbers are rising back up again. I'm still thinking to myself, are they going to close the state back up, or how are they going to proceed, you know, now that everything is changing back to the way it was when COVID first started?
I don't think so. The way they're still talking about opening up, you know, going through phase three, or I just think that's literally ridiculous. I almost feel like the government is not taking into consideration the lives. It's more about the money.
Right. Yeah, I feel like that was the whole reason why the whole reopening and the protesting that some of the people were protesting about, being locked up in the house and not having anything to do, and they want everything to go back to normal. I guess some people have that mindset, if it's not happening to me or people around me, then it's not happening. And, you know, you have people complaining about, you know, that they were tired of being in the house. But I'm just thinking to myself, like, now that we see that this thing is real, you know, and people, the numbers are rising again, and like you said, Florida is like the epic center now, or becoming the new epic center. And it's kind of like, where do we go from here? This is what, and it seems like our president is more concerned about re-election than he is people's lives.
And, you know, Florida's governor is right up underneath his butt, so.
Because they're doing those rallies and things like that and putting people in danger. The last rally they had in Oklahoma, you could see the video. There weren't many people wearing protection or anything.
I saw that. I was like, that's crazy. They weren't even sitting 6 feet apart. They were still sitting one on top of the other.
Yeah.
Hardly any of them had masks. And it's kind of funny how a lot of the people that are around Trump were diagnosed with COVID, yet the president hasn't. You think that he would keep that on the down low?
Yeah, I don't think he would tell anybody. I think he wouldn't mind spreading it to other people either. That's just the way he is so narcissistic that it'd probably be an honor to have COVID from the president. I'm pretty sure some of his followers would. I mean,
I made COVID popular again.
Right. I need my credit. Because he wants credit for everything, you know. He was
right.
Talking.
Juneteenth. Oh my gosh. What do you think about him trying to take credit for that? Are you kidding me?
Right. He wants to take credit for Juneteenth.
He made racism more
apparent. More apparent in this United States, yeah. And he wants to take credit for Juneteenth, but at the same time, he doesn't want to denounce racism. He doesn't want to say anything against the Confederate flags. He doesn't want to say anything against the police brutality. He wants to have a
support.
Yeah. Oh, we got a special guest. Who is this?
It's called sleep right now. He wants to go night night.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, the way the president is putting people's lives in danger just to be reelected. And like we spoke the other day and just mentioning, like, after the president is out of office, if it's this term or the next, like, whatever you know, in November or 4 years from now, I'm thinking to myself, like, there's a lot of people that need to be held accountable that were right under him and let him do all these things. Just like this this guy Bolton that's writing this book that's coming out, and he's saying that, you know, the book is called I Was in the Room. And just like on The View, Sonny Hostin's kind of like was telling him, like, you were in the room, but you didn't do anything. You didn't say anything. You didn't speak out against any of the things that you wrote in your book that you saw him do. And, you know, and there's a lot of people in that same situation that are in his administration that are witnessing him do illegal things, and no one's speaking up. But I'm pretty sure after his after he's out of office, everybody wants to save face and you know, do interviews and write books about what they saw.
I know that. I know for one that they allow him to do whatever he wanted to do. It's almost as if he was a puppet. It's not that they were just intimidated by him, but the fact that they just allowed him to pretty much do what no other president like has done is like a disrespect for the office itself and the people,
right.
Even the people that voted him in. Him not saying anything or not saying it stands for something. If you're not going to stand for nothing, stand for something. It's either you are or you're not. But because
right,
his supporters are all across the board, it's like straddling the fence. I'm not going to say this, or he'll say, oh, you know, this person was a great person, but as soon as they mess up, well, I don't know this person. You know, he doesn't
right.
stand for anything, much less take accountability for himself.
I wonder what, I'm just wondering, like, is it like a dictatorship? Is he paying people, or he's promising people certain things? Like, I've never seen anything like this before, and I'm just, like, wondering, like, what is it that about him that they are allowing him to do these things, and they have no moral compass or anything that just allowing him to freely run his country like a dictatorship? And letting him retaliate against people when they don't agree with him or they speak out against him. It's like this, I'm not understanding any of this.
Or even the lingo that he has when he speaks or addresses the nation, the way he speaks about every individual, I don't think he has any filter. The other day when he was speaking in regards to the coronavirus, he was calling the Wuhan the Chinese virus. It's just very offensive. And I understand that in the society that we're in now, it's like almost anything can be offensive, but no. The things that he's saying is very, very offensive, whether it be towards women, a certain nationality, which, by the way, he's not American necessarily. Nobody's, shall I say, native color, shall I say. his family came over here, you know, had their little businesses, their ventures, the human trafficking, I guess, if you want to call it that too. But, you know, no country is bottom feeders the way he makes it seem, because actually those third world countries that he say that, you know, are beneath us are actually doing better with COVID than we are.
Yeah. And I saw how New Zealand had basically went into isolation, and they actually conquered the coronavirus. And then after they did that, there were two people coming from England through Australia back to New Zealand, and they both tested positive for coronavirus. So they had to quickly isolate those two people. But it just goes to show you that it's a lot is going to have to be done to tackle this coronavirus. You know, as soon as we think it's over, it pops right back up again.
That's affected me.
Yeah.
And this election, As soon as we think it's over, it pops back up again.
Yeah, it's suffering.
And like I said, in other shows when we spoke, you know, I feel like all of this is a distraction from the election. It's kind of amazing how everything is going on during the election year. And I didn't even know who won the Democratic nomination. You don't really see the news about what's going on, what they're talking about. You're just now seeing, like, little ads against Joe Biden. You don't know anything about anybody else that's running in the other parties, where their stance are, you know, in the political arena. So it's just been a total distraction from the real issues.
Yeah.
And then I've noticed also that a lot of the companies are going pro Black Matter, but Black Lives Matter. But I wonder if they are doing that for the money as well, because they know that, you know, that's where Black lives spend their money. You know, they don't want to lose that. Do they really support it?
Yeah, that's a good question. It seems like everybody's going with the majority, and the majority is basically where the money, the dollars are going. So that's where the loyalty lies with these companies. And a lot of these companies have, you know, like the what company was that? Gucci with the racist ad that came out. You know, a lot of these companies don't prefer our money. And they let it be known. But then there's, they don't want certain people wearing their clothing, or, you know. So, but a lot of these companies are,
they want our money. They take it.
Yeah, I mean, some companies are like those high end fashion designers and things like that. It seems like they purposely release those ads that are suggestive and racist. In the racist tone. And those are the things that I think that it's done purposely to try to persuade Black people not to, you know, spend their money and wear their product, you know. I'm also just looking at everything, like, I feel like no matter what happens after 2020, I don't think the world is ever going to be the same again. After this, I think everything is pretty much changing. A lot is going on with the, you know, including the death of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Aubrey and Brunswick. It seems like it set the tone for you know, something different. And the entire time that is happening, and then we see all these new videos of different people being you know, brutalized and murdered, and then at the same time, the COVID-19 is happening. There's protesting. There's riots. And then there's the election. And the election in itself, with the president on his campaign trail, is causing up a stir as well. You know, he's upset because he didn't get the attendance numbers that he thought he was going to get, so he's taking it out on people.
But does he not realize there's a pandemic going on? Don't nobody want to come out there nobody in their right mind want to come out there and sit there and support or hear what you got to say. We can do that on TV. Why can't he do it on a prompter? Let him do it on Zoom, like everybody else.
That is true, because they were, I don't know how many people you can allow on Zoom, but I know Nancy Pelosi was saying something about there's been 6,700 people in attendance. He could have did a Zoom. So I don't know. she's funny. It's pretty dangerous, though. Like, the idea that he's out here campaigning, and it feels like it's almost like a lot of this reopening is a part, like, of him. Yeah, so he thought if I could go ahead and reopen the states so he can get back on the campaign trail, and he tries to get reelected.
Now he's coming to Jacksonville, right?
Yeah, it seems like all this stuff is tying in together, like the reopening, because a lot of these big businesses didn't want to lose any money. And then at the same time, the president wanted to be back on his campaign trail. And so it seems like the people's lives aren't that important in a sense that it doesn't matter as long as you vote. And then if you die after that, that's not my problem.
You know, I work in the insurance industry, correct? So I heard that insurance companies aren't even writing policies. And I'm not talking about health insurance policies alone. I'm talking about homeowners insurance policies because of COVID.
Wow.
I'm trying to figure out how that equals out. Why wouldn't they write it? I can understand maybe the health care, but that's what people need is health. But your homeowners insurance, your auto insurance, I know they're still giving tickets during COVID, still raising ticket prices. If you don't pay on time, it's like it's an insensitivity all for the bottom line, which is the dollar.
Mm. Wow. And that changes a lot. And you know it's kind of sad because a lot of people don't have health insurance or they don't have life insurance, and the COVID-19 is such an aggressive disease. Like when it takes over, you don't. Oh, 1 second.
Mays.
1 second. Hello, welcome to Every Artist Podcast.
Hey, Maze, I have Shantae Moore for you.
Okay, everyone, Shantae Moore just called, is here. Everyone is excited. We have the legendary Shantae Moore joining us.
Woo-hoo. Shantae?
Yeah.
Hey, Shantae, welcome to the show.
Hey,
welcome.
How are you, babe?
So how
I'm good. I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
We're doing great now. We got Shantae Moore on the line. We are so excited and honored to have you with us today.
Thank you.
So how are you holding up through all this pandemonium and you know everything that's going on in the world? How are you doing right now?
You know, I feel like there's a lot to do, and I want to be involved in it. I'm just trying to select the time and places that I can be most effective, you know. I'm holding up pretty good. I have a son who is 17. So, you know, I get a little more protective nowadays than I even was because he's out and about in the world and driving and, you know, doing his thing. And I just tell him, you know, don't forget what is going on around you. But, you know, you can't stop him from going anywhere. I can't put him in a little bubble like I want to. But I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. But this is all going to get better. We're going to vote and change the law around here, and we're going to, you know, come together as a people and really do what we really can do, which is unite and make changes that will last forever for our children for real.
Absolutely.
So being a mother of a young black male, have you had to have those conversations with him about the police and, you know, had to try to, you know, give him lessons on what to do if you're stopped by the police?
Do I tell him what to do if he's stopped by the police?
Yeah. Did you like having a son that's a black male? Like, did you have to have those type of conversations?
Absolutely. We have to, all people of color, but especially men of color, we talked about it several times. I told them, you know, I know you feel like when your music comes on, just like I do, my favorite song comes on, I want to go a little faster. And it makes my foot get a little heavier. I'm like, oh, that's my jam. And I start forgetting what speed I'm going. And I'm like, baby, you cannot forget how fast you're going, because that's just one reason that he stops you. He, whoever that policeman is, you don't need a ticket first. Then secondly, if they're the kind of police we're trying to avoid right now, and not to put ourselves in the place where we are at their mercy, then you got to be paying attention to everything. Don't change lanes without your, pushing the thing. Don't do it. And then if you are stopped, just comply. Comply and be quiet. Give them what they need. Give them the insurance. Give them your whatever. Don't start telling. And record. 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 Record on your phone. Record. But don't be telling him, I'm recording you. You better know I'm recording you. All you're doing right then is starting trouble. Just record and be quiet. Just record and be quiet. If he says sit down, sit down. If he says you got to put these handcuffs on, put them on and sit down. Don't do anything extra. Don't try to be a hero. Just come home to mama. That's what I want you to do. That's your job, is to come back home to mama in one piece. That's your job. So,
wow.
Yes, that's what I say.
Yeah, that's unfortunate that we have to.
I grew up listening to your music. Couldn't quite hit those high notes. We heard this song, which I'm sure everybody knows, which is Shantae's Got a Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What'd I go write a song about that for?
It was befitting at the time for many of us, trust me.
Yes. It's true.
So what have you been up to lately?
Well, I'm doing more of the same. You know, I am a singer-songwriter. I love to sing and I love to write songs. I have new music that is coming in July. And, I feel like I'm at Tupac status with songs that if I died tomorrow, you'd have about 3 albums worth of music.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, this is how that happens. It just, the love of music has just overwhelmed me. And it's been something that I purposed to do, because it's not about everybody hearing it. It's about making it. It is about it being... what is the word? I can't even think of the word. But it satisfies something inside of me, because I've recorded something. When I hear my own music playback, it's like, yeah, That's if nobody ever hears it, if there's a satisfaction that comes with the creative process. And so, yes, I have a whole lot of stuff. But this next one that's coming out is called Hold It Down. That'll be out in July. And it is for... at such a time as this, you know, where we really do have to be conscious of what is going on around us and holding each other down. There's a lot that goes on, and people feel alone, and we have to stand in proxy for them. We have to look out for those who are, you know, in the military who are gone. We have to hold it down here on this side of the world. Sometimes there's people who's in jail, and we got to go, you know what, no matter what you did, you're going to pay the price, and then you're going to come home, and we're holding this down for you so that when you get here, there's something for you. So that's what the song is about, is holding it down for one another.
Yeah, it's definitely needed in this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely something we need. Shantae, I am a huge fan of yours. I watched you on the reality series R&B Divas. I followed your career from the early 90s. And I'm just fascinated by your voice. I'm just wondering, who are your musical influences? Because you have such a distinctive voice.
Well, what's funny is when I think about that question, it's asked of me occasionally. But it's an interesting. I think we all are influenced by everyone. I think I one day I was talking and I said, you know, and I think it's a little bit of Sade and a little bit of Diana Ross and a little bit of Chaka Khan in there, and I really love Minnie Riperton, and I'm like, by the time you mix all that up, I'm not the new anything, you know what I mean? I'm just a big gumbo of everybody that I love, Prince and everybody else, you know. I just love music. It's just so I think that's mainly what I guess has influenced me, is all of it, all of the music that is love songs and people who put their excellence on record so that we could enjoy it is part of why I love to do what I do.
And you always
say it again. You both were talking. I couldn't hear.
Yeah, getting into the industry, was it difficult for you? Did you find it difficult for you getting into the industry when you first started?
Well, I was pretty blessed to someone came to San Diego and heard my music and wanted to sign me. I was signed pretty quickly. I think I was 19 years old, but I also was dropped at 19 years old. Less than a year later, I wasn't on that label anymore. So as quickly as it came at first, I thought, oh God, this doesn't usually happen. So now it's not here anymore. So I'm going to be over. Like there's no other chance to have another something beautiful like this happen again, which clearly wasn't the truth. But the way I believe is the way it happened is that all things work together for my good, all of them. And in the midst of me wondering how I was going to survive that album became my demo tape. And I walked into MCA Records with my new manager, and I was signed by Lil Silas, and we stayed on the label for 16 years. So
wow.
It sounds like it was an overnight thing, but I don't think anything is overnight. I think it takes practice and time and attention and intentionality for things to go well for anybody in any situation. So certainly was not overnight for me. No, there were a lot of days I was like, really? And I'm not even the best this. I'm not the best that. I'm not the best this. So how is that going to happen? But what's meant for you is meant for you. And I think being resilient and tenacious is vitally important, you know, because I think if you give up, well, you know what's going to happen if you give up. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get in the place where you're like, you know what? I'm willing to fight for what could be, what can be.
Wow. And coming from the church, your father was a minister and your mom was a gospel
mm-hmm.
singer also?
Yeah.
So he's still here.
My dad is 87 years old, May 21st. He turned 87, and he lives here with me. And, yeah, we're still present, moving forward and having fun because he's a goofball. but, yes, it did teach me to have faith in more than what I could see. Absolutely.
Wow. And is that where you developed your singing chops?
No, I never sang at church, believe it or not. They didn't let me sing. My parents, along with my sisters and brothers, they were very, very, very talented. I was the least talented of them all. And so they
Probably
would
hard
stop,
to
go,
believe.
Shante, I know, trust me. I believe it sounds like a made-up story, but I promise you it's true. They would say, Shante, you know, it's a good thing you cute, because a singer, you ain't. And I didn't care what they thought. I just love music. I love to sing. So from the time I woke up till the time it was time for homework or time to eat or whatever it was, I sang. So I didn't let it stop me, and I didn't let it define me. So, yeah, kind of a strange story, but it's true. First time I sang my own stuff, I was already signed. I used to sing in a club when I was like 18. I wasn't even old enough to be in a club, but I found somebody who was at a, what was the name of that place? Oh, Guitar Center, and this guy's wife was pregnant, and I was in there trying to find a microphone and do something positive. I was just like, let me just get a microphone and see if I can just be at home doing this myself, and this guy saw me looking. He was like, you're a cute girl, and I was like, hey, mister, you know, look out. And then I found out that his wife was having a baby, and she was standing on the other side, and she said, you know, I'm having a child, so I won't be able to do this for the next whatever. She was like, do you mind sitting in for me? Because I was testing the mics out, and she heard my voice. So I ended up singing at a club when I was 18 years old, three nights a week, $50 a night. So if I can do it, you can do it. Anybody can make something happen out of nothing.
So when you finally got signed and you released some material, what did your family think? Like, because you said that you felt like you were the...
Well, by that time, they kind of had come around a little bit, but it took them a long time. They're extremely proud of me, especially my mother, when it happened that they really – gave me some kind of credit for singing. They were kind and were like apologetic. but I thought I was going to grow taller and be a model. But petite modeling did not take off. So singing was my passion, so I continue to do it, and then the Lord opened the doors just for me.
That's amazing. And I know it's so crazy, but I find that so hard to believe. But you say I'm the least talented of them all, out of the family. I'm just they must be some amazing singers because I can't even.
Well, everybody didn't sing. My dad is a really great pianist. My sister taught herself to play the piano and the guitar. She also sings, and she sings like a little bit of an angel. It's very, very sweet, sweet, sweet sound. You could see her actually on one of my shows I did on Sundays. I do them on Sundays. She came on and sang with me on one of those. So if you can go back and look at that on Facebook and Instagram, actually. You can see either one of the posts. But anyway, my brother has passed on since maybe 6 years ago, but he was a drummer. He played with DJ Rogers and the Kenneth and Keith Crouch, who were Andre Crouch's nephews. So all of them had these extraordinary talents, and were, you know, my sister did not pursue any of it musically. But I was, yeah, I knew what I wanted, and I enjoyed singing, so I just kept on doing that.
and I think your son is a singer now too. Also,
he sings and raps. If I could change that and make him be a doctor, I would. But he got bit with the bug. That is clear.
But then he'd be like the doctors that are now acting.
I don't care. He'd be the doctor. With a job that doesn't wait on somebody else's approval, you know, like my job is what it is, and I have to be, I'm subject to what people think of me and of my songs and of what I'm doing. You know what I mean? It's like I wanted my children to do a job that you just do a good job and you get a check. You know what I mean? Be passionate about it. Be good at it. Excellent. But I didn't want them to be in a job where your check is determined by how good somebody else thinks you are. So
that
doesn't make me happy, but I know he can't help himself.
Yeah. And let me see. I can't remember her name, but aren't you related to one of the caravans?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. It's this guy that used to be on YouTube. He said that he was related to you through one of the caravans. Like,
I don't know.
I can't remember her name, but
sorry about that. But I don't have a very large family, so most of the time I know who they are. But sometimes people catch me off guard and they go, "No, I'm your mother's cousin's uncle's sister." Oh, okay.
All right, from down the street.
Yeah, you know. So I'm like, okay, cool. It can happen.
So, is there any more reality TV or acting in your near future? Like, are you looking to get back into that industry again, like that part of the industry?
Not particularly. If I did do something, it would have to be my own. And it would have to be really positive and uplifting. And sometimes people don't want to watch necessarily something that's like that. It would have to be the right circumstances where life is drama. There is a drama of life that happens. I won't be putting myself in a place where I would be in that kind of situation. I'm a little more of a creative type, and I like having things be positive and smiles. I'd rather be in a comedy place than a place of drama, you know. I want to be somebody who uplifts you, and I want the circumstances that I'm in to uplift others. So probably reality.
Yeah. I watched that show. I'm not going to speak too much on that show, but I just got to say I love the energy that you brought on the show. You always try to stay positive. It wasn't well received from other people. I don't think they understood you enough to see that you're coming from a good place all the time, the entire time. You were classy. Nothing that you see on these other reality shows where you see black women disrespecting themselves just for a check. You came on the show. You were very authentic. You're about the music, and I love the whole thing you did with the cancer benefit that they did. Thought that was very special. It just says a lot about your character. You didn't for once fall into that whole trap or take the fish and the bait where they're trying to pull you into the negativity. You stayed positive the entire time. And I think that was awesome how you portrayed yourself on the show.
I appreciate that. It really was in the forefront of my mind. So you saying that definitely makes me feel good, because that was my endeavor, is not to embarrass my children or my father, you know, or my God. You know, it really was a concerted effort at all times to hold my tongue, which sometimes made me seem a little hard or stoic or something. I think people misread my silence, which is okay. I'd rather you misread my silence than me say the wrong thing and have to try and take it back.
Right.
So I'm like, let me just shut up.
No, I totally get it. A lot of people totally got it. And I think some people were hurt by the way that they portrayed themselves on the show, just to, you know, to be popular. And I think what you did was, it was beautiful. It was just like, I was very proud to see you stand up and be the person that we as fans have watched your career, and then to see you on the reality show and you're still that same person. And it's amazing. I feel differently after watching the show about some of the other people. I'm not going to mention any names, but I felt a little different about those people. But for you, I'm always like totally in for the support, because you represented a black woman on television the way we needed it to be represented. So
thank you. But let me say one thing, though, is that sometimes what you see is not always what is portrayed. There were looks and words and phrases that were said by some, and they weren't put in the same place where that person. So give a little more grace, only because I don't know who it is you're thinking of, because it doesn't matter who it is, but it could be that they were misrepresented. It's possible that what they said, that one thing that went, okay, now that just went too far. That one moment, they could have been misrepresented. That one moment could have been the misrepresented moment. It was a difficult place to be in.
Yeah, I think you know which one
I'm
talking about.
No, I don't. But I think it could happen to all of us. All of us.
Right.
I think we were manipulated quite a bit. So some people did lie, and I think that's, you should be held accountable for something that wasn't truth. Some people did talk about people, and I think we should be held accountable for what was said about other people that comes out of your mouth. However, there were some situations that were, this was put in a place that wasn't, and that was put over here to make it better, looking for that over there to make the case of that over here. Some of it was that. All I'm saying is that it wasn't easy for any of us to be where we were. There were times where all of us were saying, like, really, this is not what I signed up for. So all I'm saying is that grace is okay. Grace is always good. We all need it. We're not perfect people. We're just people who sing for a living. That's it. Doesn't make us, you know, perfect.
Right.
It just makes us singing. It just makes us singers.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of singing, I have a question for you. So I found out that you recorded a song that has not yet to be released by Syeda Garrett, Faith Evans, and yourself. And the Secret Garden Project. You know anything about that song? Everybody's been like going crazy, trying to, like, when is it gonna come out?
I don't know. Syeda wrote the song, and we definitely did all record it together. It was Syeda, Faith Evans, myself, and Sheila E. And it was, it really is a great record. We had a whole lot of fun making it. But I don't know what's going to happen with it. Syeda is a co-writer of that song the first time, like with the guys. So so that was why she had the power to re-record it. But I have nothing to do with that other than being a happy participant. So I can't give you the answer to that. However, there is a song that Syeda wrote for me that will be coming out as well. I used to be A and B side to songs before in the 80s and 90s and 2000s even. But nowadays, I don't know, it's digital, so I don't know how that works. But as much as I can, I'm going to have a B side to Hold It Down, and it's going to be called Put It On Faith. And it's not a Christian record. It's about faith in each other, faith in, if it isn't God for you, then amen, faith in God. But it is about faith in of the future, what's going to happen, and how we have to be strong and fight through this situation. So just know that there is a song called Put It On Faith that is going to come out as well.
Wow, I know that's going to be amazing, because Syeda is an amazing writer. So I know that's going to be
an awesome writer.
Yeah.
I love her.
So, yeah, and so I'm looking forward to that. And definitely, is there going to be a video treatment for the single?
Mm-hmm. Yep, there is. It's already done.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Man, oh, awesome. So before we go, I just want to ask you one question. Is there any way you could sing one line of All Right, It's All Right?
Hello, my love, before the sun rises, after it goes down, I love you, I love you, I say it over and over again, I love you, hey, hey, hey.
Hey, 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 Mason.
So somebody, I was, you know, that was for me. Call 911 real quick because I just stopped breathing. That's a, oh my God. Like somebody pressed play on me. Wow.
That, thank you.
Well, I'm glad that made you smile. I could feel it from here, so I'm glad.
Wow. So I just got to pick myself up off the floor. Wow.
Well, thank you very much. That was a very sweet compliment.
Sound, wow, I mean, it sounds so much like the actual record.
Like myself?
Yeah, you sound like Shante Moore. Like, so we just got proof this is the real Shante Moore. The real Shante Moore. Just. And it's only a few artists that can hit that whistle register.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably just a handful of you guys that can actually still do that. Mm-hmm. And I seen I seen a video of you singing It's All Right, and you were just constantly, like, I'm like, how is she doing? You're just constantly hitting that note, like,
exactly.
Over and throughout the whole
song. I was trying to sing that song, and I couldn't do the notes. I tried.
She can sing in a, but she's, like, the only artist I've ever seen that could actually sing in a whistle register. Like, that's not even human. Like, that's crazy.
Thank you. Thank you. It is a gift. It's not something I even knew was something that was real. I just did it, and I was in the room by myself again. My family was not, you know, hugely supportive at that time. So when I hit the notes, I was like, well, that's kind of weird. Okay. Well, you know, whatever. So I was just in my room having fun.
It turned out
to be something that people liked.
And that's just a natural thing. It doesn't hurt when you...
No. Actually, it's easier to sing up there than it is regular.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So we just found out Shante is not human. So angelic type stuff going on here. That's insane. I just wow. But get back on track here. I'm trying to find myself. I just lost myself in that song when you just sang. I'm just trying to get back. Okay, here we go. All right.
I want
to thank the amazing, legendary Shante Moore for joining us today on Every Artist Podcast. We are extremely honored to have you here and join us today. Before we go, is there anything you would like to say to the listeners, like where they can find your music or support you? And moving forward, we would love to continually support you with your new project, the new single when it comes out. We'd love to promote it any way we can. And we'd love to have you back on again whenever time permits.
Shoot, she's so down there. I'd invite her to a barbecue. Kidding me?
Come on now, you better have some good barbecue. But it better be good.
And you better have
I could throw down. Ask me.
Yeah,
all right
that.
Then, girl.
Yeah.
Don't sweat. Where you live? Look, where y'all watch your dress, though?
Well, you don't
want to
come where I live right now.
Right now,
I'm in Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's scary.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. Life is going to get better, and it really will be all right. It really will. And something I was going to say. Oh, you can find me at I Am Shante Moore on Instagram and Facebook. I am Instagram, anyway. Facebook, go to the Shante Moore fans page, FANS fans page, and that's where I am most of the time. There is a regular one, but the Shante Moore fans is where I do most of my posting and things like that. So thank you all so much for having me here today. I appreciate your time and your accolades are so sweet. I love that he was blushing and I could tell. That's funny. I love it.
All right. Thank you, Shante. And a special thank you to my new buddy, CJ. Thank you for making this possible. I really appreciate you as well. And this is our show for tonight, guys. Everybody, thank you for joining us. Every Artist Podcast, I'm Mae Santiago and my host, Lisa G. And we're going to close out with Shante's Got a Man once again. Thank you, Shante.
Thank you. I'll speak to y'all soon. God bless.
Bye.
God bless.
What's wrong with you? Why are you so quiet? I know you got a man. What's wrong with you?
Eric pushed me.
He pushed me. Wait a minute.
No, he did not.
I don't know what to do.
I don't think there's any good men left.
Thank you.
You're a nice guy now.
Please.
Excuse me? There are good men.
You have one.
Where?
You think I got a mat for good men or something?
No, there is no one. Buy a dog.
Well, I'm sorry that you left you alone.